Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
Rich Casanova here, the host for Business Radio X, and I'm telling you, every week just gets a little bit better. Exciting guests here in the studio this morning, and we're going to jump right into the show. First, want to introduce our engineer, Ryan Redhawk McPherson. How are you this morning?
I'm unbelievable.
Unbelievable. That's our phrase we use each week from now on.
That's right. I'll leave it to listeners' discretion exactly what that means, but once again, unbelievable.
Absolutely. It's every day's unbelievable here at Business Radio X, and so you've had a great week so far, and you've had some amazing guests on your show for Georgia Business Radio, right?
Yeah, we had an author of the book Gumption last week. Mr. Scott Barnett was in here talking about CEO Restaurateur and how he can take your restaurant to the next level with his business acumen. So that was a great show. Go back and check out the website to hear that rebroadcast at your leisure.
And even if you're not in the restaurant business, any business. So thanks for joining us. And also, I want to just say hi to our guest here real quick. And if you would just maybe let us know what you might be chatting about. So Gary Monteith, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
And you'll be talking to our listeners about?
Oh, we were talking about the exciting subject of Medicare.
Well, it's exciting when you need it, and yes. Right?
Yeah, you are correct.
And how long have you been in that business or in that industry?
I've been in industry over 30 years.
Wow. So you are a legitimate expert.
Some days, yes.
It depends. Depends on what the question is, right?
There you go.
Always answer a question. It depends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much.
Answer.
Thank you.
All right. And returning to our studio, Dave Vogel. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Absolutely. Looking great.
Thank you.
Looking sharp. I don't know if that counts for radio. Can't give you any points for that. But, yeah.
We'll take some pictures.
Yeah. Nice. And you'll be chatting with our listeners about?
About retirement income planning.
Okay.
And how not run out of money in retirement.
Yeah. And we were teasing that on social media. One of the biggest questions or fears of people, right? Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
And you'll be giving us some pointers on that.
The number one concern.
Okay. And you were here a while back, and actually kind of we had a conversation about maybe doing a spotlight episode, and here we are, fast forward, and you brought some guests to the studio.
And I thank you.
Absolutely. Right. And sitting in our first chair here up to introduce, I don't know if he needs an introduction, but Ryan, give it a shot.
I'd like to welcome to the Buckhead Business Radio X Studios, Mr. Fran Tarkenton. Nobody knows better what it takes to succeed in a competitive arena. As one of the NFL's all-time great competitors, he was inducted to the National Football League and Collegiate Football Halls of Fame and was an All-American athlete at the University of Georgia. As a quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, Fran took his team to the 1973, 74, and 76 Super Bowls. He set the all-time NFL passing records for touchdowns and completions, which stood for 17 years. Fran has taken the lessons he learned on the field to become a successful, hands-on entrepreneur, building more than 20 companies during and after his NFL career, the largest reaching revenues of $142 million. At age 75, Fran continues to advise and support small business. In partnership with the University of Georgia's Terry College of Business, Fran recently launched the Tarkenton Certificate in Entrepreneurship, a comprehensive online education program teaching entrepreneurs everything they need to start a new business and operate an existing business more effectively. Welcome, Mr. Fran Tarkenton.
Thank you very much. Good to be with all of you.
Absolutely. Mr. Tarkenton, welcome to the show. Pleasure to have you here. And I have to just, we're going to get into 20 businesses that you've had your hands in over the years and your current business ventures, as well as some books that you've written as well. But if you don't mind, I have, just from a fan perspective, if you can indulge me for a moment. I remember as a kid living in Virginia Beach, I used to watch my uncle from Minnesota.
Yep.
Was a diehard Vikings fan, and just great times and great years at that point. But I do have a question from my brother, Coach Casanova, out in California, high school football coach. He's had 200 wins now, and he sent me a question, if you don't mind. You were known as the scrambler, not the gambler, right?
But the scrambler.
that's Kenny Rogers, yeah. But as a scrambler back in the day, and do you feel it would be effective in today's game in terms of your technique as a scrambler, if you will?
Well, it already is. Many mobile quarterbacks today. When I came into pro football in 1961, there were no mobile quarterbacks. You went back in the pocket. If you got out of the pocket, you were a freak. And I got criticized and hammered, as anybody that's revolutionary does. But I made my teams better by doing that. I brought another dimension to the game of pro football from a quarterback standpoint of not just standing back there and being a statue and throwing, but when you could buy time and buy time in order to throw the ball or either pick up a first down. Today, we have many, many more mobile quarterbacks. Russell Wilson comes to mind. Oh, yeah. Russell Wilson rushes for 600 or 700 yards a year, but he also buys time to get open to be able to throw. Andrew Luck is a very mobile quarterback. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is a very mobile quarterback. Cam Newton is a real and so it's a great dimension. Defenses are bigger, stronger, faster. And quarterback, it's a quarterback league, and if you've got the ability to run, to buy time, to throw the football, then you're going to help your team have a better chance to win.
And was that just kind of innate on your part, or what do you attribute that to? Or
by necessity. You know, I came into pro football a third-round draft choice as a quarterback playing at a major school like Georgia. If you're a third-round draft choice, that means they think that you're not good enough, not big enough, strong enough, good enough. Tom Brady was a sixth-round draft choice. Mm-hmm. He could go on. Joe Montana was a third-round draft choice. John Unitas was a free agent. And when I came in, I came into a new franchise team, which meant the Minnesota Vikings didn't have a football team until 1961.
Wow.
We got our players from the other teams. We got there are 40 players on each team.
Right.
The teams got to freeze 34 of the 40 players, and we got to pick three of the bottom six. Well, there's not 34 great players in the team. So right. We had no chance. No team, a new franchise team, had ever won a game in their first year.
What?
And
not
back
a single
in those
game.
Days, not a single game. And so we came into the league with that history looking at it. Yeah. We didn't have linemen who could block. So if I was going to throw the ball and complete the ball, I had to be a mobile quarterback. I had to get in and out of the pocket, and I did. And we won our very first game.
Wow.
We beat the Monsters of the Midway, the Chicago Bears, who were the dominant team. Their coach was George Halas. Their owner was George Halas. And and the founder of the National Football League was George Halas.
So they had the trifecta, stacked
won,
against
so
you.
We won. We beat them 37-13 on the opening day, unheard of.
Yeah.
And then we won three of our 12 games, which was unheard of. And so, therefore, scrambling was established as a way of life.
And the rest is history. I know Ryan may have a sports question, but if you wouldn't mind, a quick shout out to my brother Tom, Coach Casanova out in California.
Hello there, Tom.
He's listening out in California.
Don't deflate the football, Tom.
Nice. Good call. Good. Listen, the expert has just gave you some great advice, brother. Yeah. All right.
Well, you're also well known in the state of Georgia for your history there at the University of Georgia, and then a successful NFL career. But let's talk it to the next portion of your career when you started to get out of the football and started to get into business.
Well, I started business when I had a paper route at 7 years old in Washington, D.C. Yeah. All entrepreneurs start businesses when they're kids.
Okay.
Yep.
The best ones. I worked life, and I loved to work. And when I played football, I had an off-season job. They paid me $12,500 a year to be a quarterback in the National Football League. I was rookie of the year and had success. I had an off-season job. I worked for Wilson Truck System, stayed up in Minneapolis.
Okay.
It was a trucking company in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and they shipped goods from the Dakotas through Minnesota to Chicago and back, all regulated rates. I was a salesman. My job was knocking on the door in January and February of the shipping clerks. Now, I'm a pro quarterback. Yeah, right. What do you think about Peyton Manning and Tom Brady doing that today?
He's not making Subways
and
sandwiches.
And I did that, and they paid me $600 a month. And every job I had, I loved. You know why I loved it? There was a correlation between me doing something and someone giving me something in return. $600 a month. I've got a housekeeper, and her son is in high school, and I said, he ought to go out and earn some money. He can start by washing my cars.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I said, so yesterday he washed the car, and I made sure I gave her $40 to give him to wash that car. I said, he needs to learn the thrill of earning money by doing something.
Absolutely.
So people say, well, you're lucky you had all this football career, then you started these businesses after. I started my businesses even beyond the paper while I was playing. My first business
that's what
was,
I heard,
I was
yeah.
26 years old.
While you're still playing?
Yeah.
What business?
We built technology companies. I built insurance companies, telecommunications companies. And then we now work with Dave here, and we work with seniors in retirement income planning and under a company called Tarkenton Financial. And we help so many seniors all across the country. And Dave will talk more about that later. And then I work with hundreds of thousands of entrepreneurs over the last 20 years. Because entrepreneurs, I'm talking about mom and pa.
Right, right, yeah.
And there are 520,000 startups every month in this country.
Every month.
This is mom and pa. This is not Silicon Valley.
Right, yeah.
And they don't have access to the big banks or the big consultants or the big anything. What we've done for the last 20 years, and by being online, we can do this. We give them access to all the tools, knowledge, and information to be able to start and run their business. Now, what we've just launched with my alma mater, the University of Georgia, we have put together with the University of Georgia faculty, the Terry School of Business. This is one of the great business schools in the country.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so we built a 100-hour entrepreneurial MBA equivalent for Ma and Pa.
Really?
And we built that, and your listeners can go to Tarkenton.org. It's T-A-R-K-E-N-T-O.org, and get all the information. But we use the great credibility of our business school at Georgia to be able to go out to Ma and Pa and give them something they never had, because the more education you have, the smarter you are, the better chance. We know that. If you have a college degree, you have a better chance. If you have a high school degree, a better chance. And these people now are getting an equivalent of a 100-hour MBA course that if they bought it over the market from the Harvards or the Babsons, they'd pay $12,000 to $15,000. We wanted this to be available for everybody. $850 is what they pay.
Well,
and so that's what we've done to help entrepreneurs.
And this was originally Go Small Biz is what you're talking about.
Well, it is Go Small Biz. The company is Go Small Biz.
But the Small Biz Club is
that's one of our websites. Small Biz Club's one of our websites.
Okay.
For this certificate, go to Tarkenton.org.
Okay.
And then to learn more about what our tools are,
right,
go to GoSmallBiz.com. GoSmallBiz.com is the mothership
that has
everything an entrepreneur, startup, or entrepreneur to go from digital marketing, incorporation. I do a 15-minute coaching show, mentoring show every week live.
Wow.
And
nice.
They can get it live or they can get it on demand.
Sure.
And we want to give them the best thinking to make them smarter, to make them understand it's about people. It's about it's about building relationships, it's about getting smarter, it's about reinventing yourself, and it's about the customer. When you're focused on the customer,
right,
you got a chance to make it. If you're focused on making money,
right, it's going to be hard.
You'll compromise your principles and you'll fail.
Right.
So our whole philosophy at Tarkenton Financial and Retirement Income Planning, which Dave does with us, with all the small businesses we work with, you focus on the customer. You're transparent. You build relationships. You tell them the truth. And when you do that, you've got a sustainable mission because people will want to do business with you.
Talk to us about the Terry College of Business. Is this this right here on Lenox?
Well,
this
is Atlanta campus for it. The Terry School of Business is probably one of the great business schools of the country, and certainly in the public sector, has got an unbelievable reputation.
Oh, yeah.
My son went to Harvard Business School, and I know the Harvard people and the Stanford people and the Wharton people, and they're great business schools.
Sure.
They have the greatest respect for the Terry School College of Business, and that's what we've got all the resources there, the great professors, the great learning laboratory there. We're bringing that. We're bringing that for $850.
That's crazy.
To Ma and Pa. It's crazy. And so we've just launched it 2 weeks ago, and it's doing great. It's just another way that we are helping that Ma and Pa.
I mean, people will spend more money on a flat screen TV, right?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, $850.
Well, what we also do, I give away 10 scholarships every month. I fund myself.
Wow.
And we have hundreds of people that write in why they should get their scholarship.
Okay,
right?
Yeah. Like a pitch. They pitch
and
you.
We get about 500 to 600 applications, and we pick out about 9 or 10 each month and give them a scholarship. If someone doesn't have the $850, they get a scholarship in that way, and we have payment programs. We charge no interest on the payments.
You can finance it well.
So we finance it ourselves, no interest. We want everybody to be able to take advantage of this type of learning, and this type of learning never stops. So we will continue adding courses and updating what we have because we want to – the lifeblood of American business in this country, what makes it great are the entrepreneurs, and they're the underserved.
Right.
They're the forgotten ones. And they're so strong, and they're so diligent, and they want to make it, and we're giving them the chance with more skills and more education to make them smarter, because the smarter people always win.
Yeah, well said. Now, speaking of entrepreneurs, what do you attribute the so many people looking at startups? I mean, you have a program, Starter Success, And I mean, what do you attribute the people getting out of the workforce and doing something on their own?
Well, the biggest growth area in the startups and small businesses is age 50 to 64.
Really?
More so than the millennials.
Wow.
And so what people are doing, and Dave knows, you know, they get into retirement years, right, and they see they're living longer. They got more energy. And their money has got to last them longer.
Right.
So they're looking at entrepreneurship. They've got skills. They've got their health. So now they need to know, how do I run my own business?
Well,
that's what we help them with.
You're a prime example of that. I mean, you're at the office.
I'm at the office every day. I work every day. I'm 75 years old. And people, I want to retire. I want to go off to the villages
in Florida.
Florida and play croquet. Is that what life is about?
No.
I mean, do you see Rupert Murdoch, the czar of Fox? Do you see Warren Buffett, the greatest investor in the world? They're in their 80s. You think they're going to retire and stop? And so seniors or people getting 50 and over, rather than stop and going down the villages and dying,
right,
contribute something. You've got skills. You've got knowledge. You've got age. Go contribute and start a business and hire someone and make products or services that make somebody that brings value to somebody. And there's nothing more rewarding than that in the world. And if you're doing that, then you have a good chance of being successful in business. And the byproduct of that, you make more money.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of fun too.
Exactly. Nothing wrong with that. My goal is to be semi-retired, right? Never to be retired. And but always be engaged, because it keeps you mentally acute, and there's so many benefits.
I just don't know why anybody wants to go fish the rest of their life or play golf the rest of their life or sit on their couch and watch television the rest of the night doing something, helping people.
Right, yeah.
Should be the goal of life? It's the goal of business. The goal of business is very simple. I want to help people. I want to help solve problems. I want to bring value to them. I want to help them do better. And when your goals are that, then that will fuel you to want to go out and get up in the morning, because you're doing something productive in helping somebody else.
So let's, before we jump to Tarkenton Financial and bring Dave into the conversation, any other of your ventures, you're spinning about 5 plates right now in terms of business?
It's really focused on retirement income planning.
Sure.
Dave
yeah.
will talk about it, and is focused on small business entrepreneurs. That's our two niches.
Focus.
And they overlap.
What's the Click to Corp?
Click to Corp is incorporation. The most searched thing in the country is incorporation, because if you start a business, you've got to incorporate. So we have that facility. And all the Go Small Biz area, you go to that website. If you want to incorporate, it's a commodity. We do that for pennies. And we'll tell you and help you to know what kind of incorporation you should have.
Right.
And so we do that. We do digital marketing. We do social media for you. We'll write your business plan for you. We have an HR tool. We have business planning tools. But again, we'll write your business. Most people don't want to write their own business plan. We'll help you do that. So we have, under the Go Small Biz umbrella, we have all of these tools and skills to be able to help you. And also, what we want to do is bring you the latest thinking. That's why I do a mentoring program online every week, 15 minutes, and I bring together with me some of the great thinkers and business thinkers. I have Bernie Marcus on.
Really? Wow.
The founder of Home Depot. You know who I learned football from? Other football players. I learned it from other quarterbacks, watching them, asking them questions. You learn business from talking and asking questions of business people. And that's what we provide for our people. We provide them the greatest learning, the greatest tools to be able to go out and have a better chance to make it in the business world. 520,000 startups. That's a staggering number.
Mind-boggling.
Every month. And so we want to give, and these are competitive people. They deserve help, and we're helping them have a better chance of making it.
Ryan McPherson here. Just, I can't agree with you more. The mission of Business Radio X is to help companies succeed.
Sure,
the mission of Tarkenton Companies is to help other people succeed and get the word out about business, because business drives the economy. It's not about, the people out there doing wrong or doing right that you see on the TV all the time. This here is about the people on the streets, well, about the money that's being made and the business succeeding.
Well, we read every day, either it's in politics, someone's stolen.
Right.
FIFA, the soccer thing. They've been bribing. These are adult people.
Yeah.
We read about the Wall Street and even to Goldman Sachs, the crown jewel of Wall Street, where a director is going and giving inside information to somebody else to get an advantage. We read that all the time. And we think all of business is dirty.
Yeah.
It's not. And a lot of bad stuff happens there. We, in all of our businesses and all of our mentoring, the mission of business is quite simple. It's to help people. No, it's to make money. No, it's to help people.
Right.
To solve problems. Tell people the truth. Build relationships. And when you do that, you have a sustainable model and you have a great chance of making your business work. If you go in and I just want to make a lot of money and that's your focus, then you'll compromise your principles. And I've seen these private equity firms. I've been involved in private equity firms in the last 5 or 6 or 7 years. They have one mission: to make money.
Right.
And they'll come in and take over companies. They'll take these companies and they'll fire people. They'll raise prices. I never hear these people talk about the customer.
Right.
What's best for the customer? Never. Yeah. And when you lose touch with that, there's good things, bad things happen. Now, we look at Apple. We've been talking about Apple this week. Look at them. They're reinventing themselves all the time.
Oh, right.
But they're making the customer experience great.
Yes.
They came out with the iWatch. My wife got the iWatch. The case the iWatch came in is a jewel.
Wow.
I mean, it's so, because attention to detail, and the iWatch itself is beautiful, and she'll learn how to use it, and they've now sold, as I was telling you earlier, 7 million iWatches in this first quarter.
Wow.
They only will be able to take 5 million of them and deliver them, but they are meeting the customer. Amazon.com.
I was going to mention Amazon. That was
Amazon,
the next brand that comes to mind.
Yeah, and Amazon, Jeff Bezos, who's founder and chairman of Amazon, he's a lead investor in my daughter-in-law's startup company.
Really?
Because Jeff Bezos' wife was my daughter-in-law's roommate in college at Princeton.
Wow,
small. She married Jeff Bezos, and she couldn't afford her senior year, and daughter-in-law's father funded her.
What type
senior
of business?
Year, and she's starting up a business to get funding for college kids who run out of money.
Oh, wow.
And she's doing it. She's bootstrapping it.
Nice.
And Jeff Bezos was her first investor.
Wow.
But she's gone beyond that. And it's just great to see another one of our family go out and just kick the doors down. And she will talk to me and ask for advice here or not. But she goes and kicks her own doors down, makes her own phone calls, and goes out and makes it happen.
Well,
and
Jeff Bezos on board. Fun. I mean, yeah.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll tell you so.
Speaking of Amazon, we have coming up this week, right, Vice President?
Chris Rupp, Global VP of Amazon Prime. He's going to be coming on and talking about how they're taking their next Prime to the masses. You know,
Atlanta's one of the only 14 beta tests. This concept where you, by noon, you order over a million from your item from over a million items. Gets delivered to your door before you go to bed that same day. I mean, that's mind-boggling, the logistics, right?
And what they're doing is the customer experience, the customer
that's
experience.
Exactly, yeah.
Google is the same way.
Oh.
And Apple's the same way. And then you go back and look at the archaic companies. Right here. I love the Coca-Cola. I used to work for the Coca-Cola company.
Yeah.
But they're stuck, aren't they?
They cannot grow.
Why are they stuck? What's their major product? Sugared water that's bad for you.
Right.
Their second major product is diet drinks, which are bad for you.
Yeah.
I mean, give me McDonald's. They're stuck. Why?
Right, yeah.
Because their french fries are bad for you, and the burgers are bad for you. And it's just, I mean, they haven't thought about the customer, right?
Right, right?
It's about making money. Mr. Sam Walton was one of my great mentors. I mean, Walmart. He didn't even have a college education. You know, grew up there in a little town of Oklahoma. And he and I became great friends, and look what he built. But he's been gone for 20 years, 25 years. And now they're having to catch up.
Right.
They're having to catch up to Amazon. Amazon's their competitor. Well, and they're having a hard time growing, even though they are probably by by revenue, the biggest company in the world, by number of employees, the biggest company in the world, and they are stuck. IBM is stuck. JCPenney's out of business. Now, what does that mean for small business people? It means small business, be fast, be nimble, learn, read, ask questions, find out what's going on. You got to be better today than yesterday, right?
Right, right.
And focus on the customer. How can I make the customer experience better, 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 better? And another thing for all you people out there, and many people, when they get into small business, gosh, you know, I'm not a salesperson. I said, you're a great, you're not a salesperson. Don't be a salesperson. I don't want to be sold anything. I want people to help me, give me ideas, give me information, give me knowledge, answer my question truthfully. And then maybe say to me, you know, the product I have is really not the product for you. You need to go down the street and get Billy Bob's product.
Yeah.
because I don't believe in selling. When I sit down with somebody, I say, listen, I'm going to share with you what we do, but it may not make any sense to you. Don't be afraid to say no to me. Say no to me and tell me why no, because I'll learn from that, and maybe I could go out and get something better. I do not believe in selling. I went to one sales course when I was in my early 20s and never again. And you know what I learned or what they taught me? How to manipulate people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How to have a soft close.
Talk them into something they don't.
Soft close, hard close. It doesn't matter whether they need it or
right,
not.
Right.
Sell them and
always be closing, right?
Always be closing, all that stuff. And I said, that's manipulation. I don't want to do that.
It should be ABS, always be serving.
Always be serving.
Coin that phrase.
Oh, man, that took me a while.
I'll tell you what, if you could, if you people out there starting a business or in business, if that could be the forefront of your thing, I'm here to serve people.
Yeah.
And make people.
Well, back to Walmart, I mean, that was kind of the customer experience, is he had a greeter. What other brand, either before or since, had a dedicated person that their only role was to make that welcome, that first experience? Now, sometimes you go into places, I won't name any brands, but you walk into a store, and as soon as the door opens, they say, welcome to, you know, not to Moe's, but they welcome to our store.
They had a greeter.
But they did. They yell it from across the counter, and they're not even making eye contact with you, right?
No.
You walk into a coffee place, hey, hello, good morning. I'm like, talk to me, whatever, because I walk in. I don't know if they're talking to me or the guy behind me. It's, you know, they're just doing it like a robot without any.
I took my Tarkenton financial people to Paris, France, or to Italy. Then I went over to Paris after Italy. I stayed at Le Bristol Hotel, 5-star hotel. A German group owns a bunch of hotels. I stayed in another one of their hotels, a hotel, Hotel du Cap down in the south of France, and then the Eden Rock in St. Bart's. But I walk into Le Bristol, 5-star hotel. Very expensive hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And you think the French are going to be smug. There's a guy in the lobby, and he's doing it with everybody, not just because I'm Fran Tarkenton. Yeah. He's doing it there. He is there greeting and meeting and having a cup of coffee and a spot of tea, and he's dressed nicely. I think he's the president of the company.
Right, right.
So finally I said, and I got to know him after a few days because he's always greeting me. And I said, what's your job?
Yeah.
I am vice president of customer satisfaction.
Nice.
And I've got, so you have an office? He said, I have one, but my job is to be right here in the corridor of this and the lobby of this hotel and meet all the people. And that's what he does. Mr. Sam Walton, he wanted to do what? Have great products at a low price. So I asked Mr. Sam early on, I said, did you ever make a mistake in building Walmart? Oh, he said, thousands of mistakes. You learn from mistakes. And I said, tell me one mistake. And he said, well, I knew people wanted low prices. So I gave them low prices, but I gave them brand X. They didn't want brand X. They wanted brand A. They wanted top branded goods at low prices. So I changed that thing from brand X to top branded goods. And he, you know how he learned that? He talked to customers. He asked them what they wanted. I went to opening of stores with him. He's talking to all the people. What do you like? What do you don't like? Talking to his associates. He didn't call them employees.
Right, yeah.
How are you doing? He listened to people.
Well, so if I walked in that hotel in France, even though I'm just a rich Casanova, I get the same experience.
You get the same experience at Le Bristol Hotel.
We had the vice president of global marketing for Ritz-Carlton, and then the properties here in Atlanta come in for a spotlight. Same experience, right?
Yeah.
And they don't call employees. It's ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
It's a matter, if you respect, I always feel like a lot of companies spend all their time, you know, we've been talking about customer, which definitely has to be, you know, in the forefront. But do you subscribe to this complete mantra, the customer's always right? as opposed to sometimes employees, where do they rank in there, right? Because a lot of times it's like the employees are second-class citizens, all the focus and all the attention's on the customer.
Well,
but if the employee doesn't feel valued and respected, that translates, right? Carries over? Yes or yes?
Well, you go back to Sam Walt. He didn't call them employees. Oh, yeah. He called them associates. Bernie Marcus started a Home Depot right here in Atlanta. He calls them associates.
Yeah.
And they treat them like associates. They treat them like business partners. And when you treat all of your people with respect, not just the guy ringing the bell the
right.
most, but the person, then you've got a culture. Culture trumps everything. The culture that you've got to have in your company is you got to use the L word.
Loyalty?
Love.
Oh.
The culture of love. I got two of my grown kids working with me. I said, you've got to love the people that we work with here and all of our financial advisors here. You've got to love them like your kids. And if you don't do that, you're in the wrong business. And Sam Walton, Bernie Marcus, they treat all of their people with ultimate respect and care. And that bodes to a successful business. Back to football. Pete Carroll is a great friend of mine.
The
coach of Seattle Seahawks.
Turned around
a franchise that was just broke.
Right, yeah.
Broke. In 2 years, he wins a Super Bowl and loses by that bad
play. Ridiculous, yeah.
But he has competitive. He's got a culture of love there.
Yeah, yeah.
He works on developing each one of the 40-man person. And if you are in that culture and you're an outlier person that's just bad – are hard to get along with, are causing problems, you're a cancer in that culture,
right.
He trades you or cuts you.
Well, Russell, almost coming in as a rookie and just, I mean, winning,
he's
amazing.
He had two handicaps.
Yeah.
Number one, he was 5'11", and the second was a rookie.
Yeah.
They don't draft. I think there have only been three quarterbacks drafted under 6 foot tall in the last 30 years.
How tall were you?
I was right over the cusp, six foot, and that's why I was a third-round draft.
Yeah.
If you're under 6 feet, they don't draft you. They don't want you.
Right.
And so Russell Wilson, with all of his skill set, was a third-round draft choice, and they didn't expect him to get to build. Pete Carroll's, he called Bud Grant and said, how tall was Tarkin? Bud Grant said he was 5'10". Well, he was wrong. I was 6 feet tall.
Right, exactly.
And he said, how did he get around? He said, it didn't bother him. He said, he threw in the lanes. And
you either got it or you don't.
You either can play or you can't play. And Russell Wilson can play. And he stepped on the field, and he played right away.
Can I paraphrase or quote you here? I wrote this down. I love this. A little variation of what you just said. Culture trumps money.
Yeah.
Right?
Culture trumps strategy.
Everything. Like you said,
culture trumps everything. And if you don't have a culture of love and respect, you can have 40 all-pro players on your football team that they won't win. And you look right now, LeBron James,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
This man, he's got a lot of naysayers, right? I hear the sports jock people here.
Right.
If he loses this championship game, it'll be the fourth championship. He'll never rank with.
Right, yeah.
He's taken a team of nobodies, and they have no chance to win, and they're 1-1 in the series against San Francisco, and that's on the road.
Right. Yeah.
He's willing them to win. He's playing his heart out. He's leading. He's defending, he's passing the ball. What he's doing is one of the great performances in the history of sport of any kind in this probably 7-game series.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about the series, but I didn't know. But we want to jump to Dave here in just a moment. But let's jump in on Fran, our Tarkenton Financial.
Yeah.
How'd you come up with that name?
Well, I don't know. But here, as Dave will tell you, what we did there, we saw a need.
Yeah.
So many of my senior friends got caught in the dot-com bust, and
really?
They had to go back to work, and they all they knew was the market. All we hear is the market, the market,
the market is a
casino, right? And if you're over 50, you don't need to be in the casino. You want certainty to your life. You don't want risk to your life. And so the insurance companies in the last probably 10, 15 years have come out with great insurance products backed by A-rated insurance companies, great insurance companies. And they come in the form of indexed universal life and to fixed annuities. And so we started studying the products. I got my people. And I said, this is great stuff. Seniors need to know this story. They didn't know the story. Now it's a big industry. And we got into it. And we're kind of a 5-star boutique hotel. We go out and find really good people with great knowledge, but more importantly, great ethics to go out and work in the 50 and over market around the country, and our job is to educate seniors on Social Security, on retirement income planning, to make sure that you have an income and you don't run out of that. You heard that they say that you don't
That's
run out of money.
Fear. Because they're outliving our money.
It's all right? of us. I asked Sam Walton one time. I said, Mr. Sam, when's it enough? He says, never. He said, I wake up every morning thinking, what if nobody goes to Walmart stores? We all have that fear.
But not having enough, what drives like a Mark Cuban or so? I mean, at a certain point, you have enough money. But
it's not about the money.
Right?
The money is a beautiful, wonderful byproduct. And I enjoy the travel I'm able to do. I enjoy the lifestyle I'm able to enjoy. But it's about
yeah. What doing gets you out of bed?
Because I love helping people. Yeah. I love solving problems. And in the senior market, we are helping thousands of seniors every day.
Well, Dave,
get education.
Dave, talk to us about what's your role there at Tarkenton Financial, and how do you go about helping folks?
Good question. My role is Fran educated me when I ran into them on retirement income planning. I've been in the business for 30 years, more on the accumulation side. And like him, I ran into a lot of clients who got hit in the dot-com. 2008 was a big one. And I said, something else has to be out there. And it is just what Fran was saying, having guaranteed income in their lives and not running out of money. And so that's what I'm focused on.
And, I mean, how do you go about that as far as if they're reaching that age and in the back of their mind they're having this fear? Mm-hmm. How do you go about what are some strategies to address those issues?
Good question. The number one strategy and the cornerstone to what I do is retirement income planning. Okay. And we use some software to analyze where someone is at today, what their budget is, what their future expenses might be, and we throw it in to the software and figure out where it's at, and the numbers don't lie. We definitely do Social Security planning. Very, very important to do. People are not taking advantage of it. They're taking it at 62 and not doing a good analysis. For a couple today, if they don't do it properly, it can cost them a couple $100,000 in their lifetime. So I do the analysis. We see where they're at. We have discussions with people, what their likes are, where they want to go, and we fit the products or the investments and show them what's around to help solve an issue if they do have the income gap.
We kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but mm-hmm. the guaranteed income stream, is that possible, or what are some vehicles or platforms that would allow someone to plug into a guaranteed income stream?
Definitely possible. One is Social Security, which is basically an annuity.
Is that still around?
It's still around and will be around. So that will pay you for life. The other thing is to look at are these fixed annuities or immediate annuities and index annuities. They're low cost. They guarantee return to you, and they'll pay you for the rest of your life. So the idea is to move out of your fixed income money, which you're probably not getting much of a yield at with CDs or anything, and put it into, I guess you can call it, an income annuity. And some of them will grow and have an index tied to the market, so you can increase the return. Some of them are just a fixed rate of return. And that will guarantee you a return for the rest of your life.
I know in recent history, I think people still have in the back of their mind this 2008. Right? I mean, that's a cycle that is going to happen again, right?
Right.
Well,
correct.
So, yeah. And what's great about the fixed index annuity, most seniors don't know about this because CNBC, MSNBC, they're about the market, right?
Right. Yes.
Is it going to go up, down, this minute, this hour, this day, or whatever? Right. And with the fixed index annuity, what the insurance companies have modernized, they've brought out wonderful products that nobody talks about because there's no gambling there.
Right.
And what it's able to do, you put in whatever money you're going to put in, and you tie it to an index, and if that goes up 5 or 10% the first year, that's locked in.
Okay.
And let's say that the market the next year goes down 10%. You don't go down 10%.
Really?
You stay where you are.
No loss.
And so you have no loss. And so that's why the products are so popular. They say, well, it's too good to be true. It's not too good to be true. These are products that are put together by A-rated insurance companies all across the world. They take the risk, the insurance companies, it's not Dave and I that are guaranteeing your money, they are.
Right.
And they are phenomenal products. And they give you, number one, safety first. You have safety first. You're not going to lose any money. And second, you get a return on that money. And not as much as you would get if the market goes up, but you get some return on that money. And then you got an income part of it that can be triggered. And you can match that up is when Dave works with the people, and you got a lifestyle. I need thousands of dollars a month. We can manage that process with a fixed index annuity or index universal life policy, and get you the type of return and the type of income that you need to sustain your style of living.
So you kind of reverse engineer that. You figure out what monies do you need. Exactly. And then build a portfolio around that.
Exactly. It's customized for that person. And what Dave does, it doesn't cost him any money to have him come and talk to him. And Dave, you might tell him. I told him how to get to Tarkin.org.
But yeah, yeah. How do they find you, Dave?
How they can find me. They can call me at 770-317-1404. They can find me at realisticretirementstrategies.com.
Or... if all that is too much, just go to Tarkin and Financial, and you call us up here in Atlanta, or go to our website, and we'll hook you back up with Dave and say you heard this radio.
They're trying to get me to have my web address be Retire with Dave.
Nice, yeah.
Want to make it easy. Right, yeah. So that's the next step.
Next step, nice. So we're going to jump back into this conversation, but let's bring Gary in just for a moment. And Ryan, how about we introduce our next guest?
My pleasure. We'd like to welcome Mr. Gary Monteith. He has been in the health insurance business for close to 30 years, working with brokers, individuals, and small employers. Traveled throughout Georgia working with Chamber of Commerce and setting up discounted health insurance programs for their members. Now helping primarily with Medicare and individuals in determining what best plan is for them. Welcome, Mr. Gary Monteith.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. So that's an interesting play, aligning yourself with Chambers of Commerce. Tell me a little bit about that. So you...
Yeah, that was my previous career. I would... work for a company that negotiated discounts in health insurance, and then we go to Chamber of Commerce and set those up so those members could participate in that program. So they would get a 5% discount on their group health insurance versus having to go straight with the insurance company. It would attract new members for the Chamber of Commerce,
yeah.
And it would also provide a steady income. Now, we didn't actually sell it. We would use the brokers in that community,
sure.
Too.
Okay.
And so they were participating in that program. What happened, though, unfortunately, with the new Affordable Care Act, it wiped out the discount, so we no longer were able to do that.
So win-win became a no-go.
Yes, yes.
All right, so talk to us about Medicare. A lot of people have misconceptions or misunderstandings. You know, how do you explain that process for them to sign up or take advantage of those services?
Yeah, I mean, people work, you know, all their lives, and then all of a sudden they're retired, and they're approaching Medicare, and it's kind of like raising a child. You're not given a handbook how to do this. So they're kind of surprised there's brokers out there that will help them do that. One of the things that people, when they have to register for Medicare, they have 7 months to do that. They have to be 64 and a half. And then they, during their birth month, they have 3 months before their birth month and 3 months after. So the example would be if you were born in June, your birthday, you could sign up for Medicare in March, April, or May, and your month, birth month, which would be June, and you also have the option of going July, August, and September. Then if you don't, then
that was my next question.
Then you're going to get penalized.
Really?
Right, right. You have to wait until January through the end of March to sign up, and you'll be paying a penalty for that. And then you have July 1st to sign up.
Is that just like a one-off penalty, or does it increase your rates?
Well,
or it depends.
it all depends on their income.
Okay.
They've changed that recently in the last few years. Medicare is broken down into four different areas, and that is Part A, Part B, Part C, and Part D. And Part A is hospitalization, skilled nursing, and also hospice care. And people would have paid into the system for 10 years or paid into Medicare for 10 years. They don't have to pay a premium for Part A. Now they do have a deductible. If they have to use Medicare, it's $1,260. If they go into the hospital, they have to pay that up front or a payment plan with the hospital system. Part B is doctor visits, ambulances, lab work, things like that. And to participate in that, you have to pay $104 a month to Medicare.
Wow.
Yeah, and then... and that's based on your income also. Most people pay $104.
Okay.
Those who make more than $88,000, they'll pay a little bit more. And those with low income, they get a subsidy to help pay for that also.
And what about C and D?
Well, C is Medicare Advantage, and I'll go over that in a moment. Okay. That's a whole different animal.
Yeah.
And D is prescription drug cards. Medicare does not cover prescription drug cards. So you have to buy a prescription drug card directly from the insurance company to help pay for prescriptions.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage.
All right. A Medicare supplement is very simple. It supplements what Medicare does not pay. So you buy a supplement from an insurance company or through a broker, and then they would help pay for the deductibles and any of the other expenses you may have. So it fills in the gaps that Medicare does not. And there's a number of plans, but the most popular plan is Plan F, and Plan F pays everything. It may range from $130 to, depending on age and where you live, and non-smoker or smoker. But you also offer Plan G, which I
just jumped ahead. Yeah. Just bypass.
Well, they put out plans, and then all of a sudden they eliminate them.
Oh, okay.
But Plan G does the same thing, except it does not cover the deductible that Part B offers, which is $147. So it's usually about a 15% to 20% discount in that rate by going to Plan G.
In other words, somebody needs a broker like you to talk to. Well,
apparently, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not going into what prescriptions, what they pay and what they don't pay.
Yeah, that's a whole other show.
That
huh?
is a whole show and a half.
So the supplement, are we talking about Aflac, or that's for just for health?
Aflac is mostly for if you're injured off work.
Okay.
So it's more of a disability. Covers your paycheck, basically. Right. And that's what they do. Now, they used to have a Medicare supplement. They don't anymore. But I work with a lot of supplement companies because not one supplement fits everybody. Everybody, one of the things that people don't understand, a supplement, all the insurance companies have to have the same coverages. So the plans are the same.
Right, right.
So they compete on price.
Yeah.
That's the thing that you look at, is it the price. So when you sign up for Medicare and you sign up for a supplement, if you sign up within that time period of 60 days, then you don't have to go through underwriting after
that. So what does Medicare not cover?
Medicare does not cover such things as long-term care. It does not cover dentures. It does not cover prescriptions. And it does not cover dental and vision and hearing, things like
that. What about hair transplants?
No,
dang it. Not yet. Well, okay. So there's some new products and they're offering. I've heard about the short-term care. We always hear about long-term care.
Right.
I mean,
right. Yeah, what's happened is about 20 years ago, a new product was developed. And what was happening was people could not afford a long-term care anymore. Right. So as the price got up, the market saw that, wait a minute, there got to be some people out there that can afford something. So short-term care is based upon 1 year. You can get care for up to 1 year. With the long-term care, it's 3 to 5 or plus.
Right,
it could be for life.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's you can choose the same benefit. You can get the same coverages. The other difference is the elimination period. Elimination period is how many days before my coverage start.
Right.
With long-term care, it runs about 90 days now before that kicks in.
Oh, really?
And then with short-term, you can get a zero start that day or 15.
So what's the advantage or what's an application somebody needs short-term? And I guess it's a higher price point
as
opposed to long-term?
It's cheaper. It's about a third of the cost of long-term care because it's a shorter period. And the application to fill out with the long-term care may be 40 pages.
But for short-term, I mean, you can start right away and pay less. I mean, why not just keep enrolling on short-term?
Well, you can only get it for 1 year.
I'm trying to wrap my head around somebody that, who would need that, you know, if they just find themselves up a creek and...
Yeah, if they cannot afford long-term care, if they do not qualify medically for long-term care, odds are they could qualify for short-term care. And let's look at what people are saving. Someone who has $300,000, they can afford the long-term care and they need it.
Right.
It's expensive, but they need it. Today, it runs around $65,000 a year for a home nursing care, or not home, but for a semi-private room in a nursing facility. So with short-term care, it's also for people who may only have $90,000 saved up in assets. They can help delay some of the cost that's going to come down the road. So there's a market for people who have lower assets with people who have bigger assets.
It seems like it just gives them an opportunity to kind of buy some time and resolve some things.
Yeah, sometimes some people have to sell everything they got and be under Medicaid, and Medicaid would cover their nursing home care. So the problem there is if you sell everything off and you got the state controlling. Right. You may have to do it from day one, but with a short-term carry, it gives you some time to make that decision.
It sounds like these are the folks that hadn't consulted with Dave prior to that situation, right?
Yeah, I agree.
That's correct.
So you're definitely an expert, 30 years in the business. So how would our listeners find out about and reach out and contact you?
Yeah, you can call me at 678-575-0896, or then go to my website, which is thebesthealthins.com.
Wow. So you are the best healthins.com.
Yeah, Gary's good.
Nice,
my best.
Okay, well, thanks again for being on the show,
and
maybe just some closing comments and some additional words of wisdom from folks. I want to we didn't get a chance to talk about some of the books that you've authored, and maybe what's coming up next in the future. But I was kind of browsing, Playing to Win, How to Motivate People, and the interesting title, What Losing Taught Me About Winning.
Yeah. Well, my new book is coming out in the fall. Okay. And the book is going to be titled The Power of Failure, because people don't want to look at failure. I don't want to be a loser. The only way you can win, the only way you can learn, the only way that you can get things done is through failure. Thomas Edison was once asked, how many experiments did you have before you got the light bulb to work? Oh, at least 10,000.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, didn't you get discouraged? He says, no, I knew it was one step closer. The whole book is about my life of winning and failing and the failures in business and the wins in business and sports. I lost 3 Super Bowl games.
Yep.
Did I go and put my head in the dirt and I'm a loser and I just couldn't win the big one? The pundits were calling me that.
Yeah.
But what I did, I looked at it and I owned it and said, what did I not do? How did I not prepare? What amok? People don't want to do that. The secret to success, the power, the gift is failure. But fail fast. And when you fail, you're going to fail.
Oh, absolutely.
And you got to take ownership of that failure. Everything that you do is not going to work. Anybody that's done anything in life, most of the things you do don't work. And you learn from that, and that gets you going. Here's the way you'll never grow. Is if you sit in front of that television and never do anything, never knock on a door, never read a paper, never read a book, never try to get smarter, and you're doomed to failure. But you've got to, the power of failure, I think, is just unbelievably necessary in today's business environment, and it's a joy.
Well, to hear you say not winning, I mean, I'm thinking how many people in that arena never made it to the level that you were at, just as a and then into the big games. And
well,
I mean, the numbers are staggering.
Well,
right?
I played on great teams. I played in team sport, we won the state championship in high school. We won the SEC championship at Georgia with in the 50s. Georgia didn't have anything. We went up and did well with our franchises that were challenged. And then when we had good teams, we won 6 division titles, and we went to 3 of the first 11 Super Bowls,
right.
and we didn't win. So you know, you don't have everything,
right, right, yeah.
But what's life? It's the life is the experiences, and you learn from them, and you move on, and you get smarter. But it all starts with failure, and failure is not a bad word. Failure is not a bad thing. Because if you're not failing, you're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard, I think it's true. They say the uber successful people have failed on average 13 attempts before they kind of made it.
Yeah.
And I do subscribe to this idea of quitting your way to win, right? Because but you said you got to fail fast. You got to know when to quit and walk away, right?
And you might quit that particular.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I've had. We've all had business ideas or strategies that we thought could work, and they didn't.
Right.
You know, and business is about marketing, right? And
how do you
get more platforms? How do you knock on more doors? How do you get your message out to more people? And so you're constantly looking at that, and you're going to try a lot of things. If you don't try a lot of things, you're not going to get anywhere. If you don't knock on a lot of doors, talk to a lot of people, read a lot, you're not going to get anywhere. And you've got to be in that active stage. And when it's not working, Look at it for what it is. It's not working. Right,
exactly,
I got to change,
yeah.
right?
Well, a lot of people, they just kind of get so attached to it.
Oh, yeah.
And you see so many, I'm amazed how many iconic brands that
well,
have.
Well, how about Coca-Cola? It's still sugared water.
Right, yeah.
And diet drinks that are not good for you. McDonald's yeah. are still, you know, their product. They owned a company that they spun off. What's the name of the burger place that's spun off?
Chipotle?
Chipotle.
Oh, yeah.
And Chipotle's more healthy, more this, more right, that. Yeah. And it's knocking the cover off.
Oh,
them
yeah.
And they're doing the same old stuff, big old buns and big old beef and right. stuff in the beef and French fries and grease and all that stuff. And wonder why? Well, why are they not coming here and they're going to Chipotle?
Right, yeah.
So it's a matter of being relevant, and but so many people, once we have success, we say, yep. that's it. I've got the model, and you never have the model. Whenever I thought I had it done and had the model, I got stung. You got to continue pushing the envelope, reinventing yourself, getting smarter, and that's why you've got to have an open mind, a curious mind. You've got to ask a lot of questions and be willing to change.
Well, it's the Henry Ford mindset, right?
Yeah.
It's like if you don't, I think it's on your email signature or whatever, right? About adapting or what's your sign off on that? Or
it's from Benjamin Thomas Edison.
Okay, yeah.
It's about taking chances, educating people, and having them learn.
Yeah.
Is the secret.
I mean, that's definitely the theme of the show is kind of service. Mm-hmm. And if you take care of people, money will find you, right?
Well, if you do the right thing. Now, it's been proven also you can cheat, and
right,
you can,
yeah.
and cheat, and sometimes cheaters get away with
short term,
but sometimes long term. I mean, on Wall Street, there are a lot of cheaters,
yeah.
a lot of inside trading on Wall Street, and most of them are not getting caught. But when you do get caught, the consequences are pretty bad. But you still find people that are taking that risk to cheat and steal and lie and how in the world can you live with yourself?
Right, right.
Sustainable mission is to help people, to solve problems, and to do that, you've got to ask questions of your customer and
so,
focus on your customer.
Can you give me a quick one or two words about each of these books and then finish with your new book coming out? But a takeaway for somebody to read each of those three books, Playing to Win. What's the kind of takeaway?
Well, I think the whole thing, Playing to Win, what losing taught me about winning, how to motivate people. It all comes from learning, asking questions, being curious. When I played pro football, I went and talked to the old quarterbacks that were retired,
yeah.
Otto Graham, Sammy Baugh. How did you do it? This is what I'm thinking. And so I'm always looking at that. I never have all the answers myself. I find so many people who get into pompous positions, a president of my company, whether it's big, little,
right,
and
right.
I'm all of a sudden, I've arrived.
Yeah.
I'm the boss. I'm the king, and I want to be all that. And my ego gets out of control. Yeah. And I stop learning, and I stop listening, and I stop asking questions, and I stop caring. And I'll go back to Sam Walton. Sam Walton treated the janitor in his stores just as well as he treated the president of his company.
Right.
He didn't treat anybody with more respect because they had more money or more prestige or more this. And that's the test, I think, of all of us. How do we treat everybody? And I, for my life, I've got a track record. I go out in restaurants all across the world, and I see a couple over here who I feel sorry for
yeah.
that maybe they're in over their head. I quietly buy their check and never tell them, and I'm out of there. I picked up hundreds, if not thousands, of checks. Now, when you see me in a restaurant in Atlanta,
that's my next question.
They'll come over again. But it's.
I was going to say, where in Buckhead might I find you in a restaurant? I just happen to be there the same day.
But in so many of the companies
yeah, yeah.
that I've also worked with, big companies, I never hear them talk about what's good for the customer. I never hear them talk about let's make it valuable for the customer. It's about greed. It's about yeah. how I can raise prices, I can give less and take more. And one of my great friends wrote a book, Givers and Takers, Adam Grant up in Wharton. And he talked about givers and he did some scientific analysis of givers and takers. And there are givers and takers. And if you want to be successful in life and feel good about yourself, be a giver, not a taker.
I mean, karma, it's you can't get away from it, right?
No.
Yeah.
Well, so, but it comes from a deep understanding and caring of the people around you. Not just your kids. That's easy.
Right,
not
right.
just your grandkids. That's easy. How about the people that really can't help you?
Yeah, that.
How about that person who can't? How are you going to treat that waitress there at that diner? You going to treat her with respect or he with respect? You going to tip them properly? You know?
A quick story. I used to drive limousines out in California, met a lot of celebrities, but it is weird. Once they're one, not all cases, but in some cases, they're this personality outside the limo. When they step inside, they are bad mouthing everybody. They just were smiling and shaking hands.
Yeah.
But then you have the first class people that they don't, I'm just the driver. They don't know me from Adam. I can't do anything for them. I can't help their cause. And yet they're the most, like Jay Leno, most genuine people. T-Bone Pickens. I drove him to the airport and I wanted a copy. I was a up and coming entrepreneur out there, had an entertainment company, wanted his book. And he was giving books out to everybody, signing everybody's books, right? Who cares the limo driver? I'm not going to be able to help him out. He's not in my Rolodex, right? And I asked him for a copy, and I thought I got the blow off because he said, or brush off because he said, ran out of books. I thought, oh, sure, it's T-Bone Pickens. He doesn't need to give a book to me, right, or sign anything.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, within days, an autographed copy arrived in my mailbox.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, you can't really teach that, right?
Well, you'd like to think you can teach that. But so many people are blinded by self-importance and doing things for me,
right.
and taking care of me, and they are not focused on other people. The happiest people, most productive people, the best people that I've met in my life are the people that are focused on other people, not themselves.
Well said. I know we're almost out of time, but Ryan, you may have a
no. I think just a great bunch of nuggets of knowledge that we can take away from here today. Want to remind our listeners to go to TarkentonFinancial.com for more information, or you can follow him on Twitter at Fran_Tarkenton. Find him on Facebook as well, Fran Tarkenton, to continue this conversation, or if you want to learn more about how to succeed in life and in business, you can follow him. And then also Dave Vogel. You know, make sure you have realistic retirement planning. If you don't, you're not being real to yourself,
there
right?
Because
it's coming, and you need to save money today. So his website is realisticretirementstrategies.com. So we want to make sure our listeners know to go to there. And then also, Mr. Gary Monteith, you know, he is the best health insurance guy out there. He's got all kinds of information, and his website says so.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
best health ins.com. So make sure you follow him as well. So,
thank you.
Yeah, no more questions for me, Rich. I'm just basking in all this, like I said, nuggets of knowledge.
I'm going to be listening to this 100 times. There's so many nuggets here.
Right, you should have your own radio show, Mr.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. Yeah. Power of Failure. When and where is that coming out, and what's the takeaway from that?
Well, it's coming out in
October.
September. September, I think we'll have it out. Regenerative Press out of Washington is doing the book. The foreword is being written by the dean of the Terry School of Business,
nice.
And I've got a lot of other great people endorsing the book. And it's a book that'll be 200 pages or under.
Uh-huh.
So I don't like thick books. I like
right.
books that I can read on a weekend, and I think it'll be that. And I think it'll, and I know it will be great experiential learning for many people, because I open Pandora's box. I talk about the things I hit on, the things I didn't hit on, and how I learned, and how I. And so it's a life experience book of all my businesses and my thinking from the paper route on up. And I think that you'll find it to be a pretty good read.
Well, I had a paper route back in the day, so I mean I'm following your path, but maybe, other than the all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But we'll love to have you back in September to promote that
we'll
book when
that.
It comes out.
We'll do
and
that.
So that'll be on your buddy's Jeff's website, I imagine, as well.
Yes.
You called him by a first name. All right, so I think that's a wrap up. For
yeah, you know, you can honestly say now, Fran Tarkenton loves you. Because he loves people, right?
Well, we wrote that down. It's the L, not
the L
loyalty.
Word.
Yeah,
it's the L word,
L
love.
World.
It's
that's right.
L
love
word,
people,
love.
And business will love you.
But I love the culture trumps everything.
That's culture right. trumps.
And I got to tell you, that's how Fran is.
Right?
Yeah. He is right on, spot on in what he says. He walks the talk, as they say.
He's just like this when the microphone's not on.
He's great inspiration. Yeah, he is. I'll tell you. He preaches. I mean, education, learn, open your mind, listen to people. Is what he's all about.
Gotta love that.
Gotta love it.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.
Okay, guys.
All right.
Thank you.